This is Geek News Central, and my name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's shows are as follows. Russian extortion seems to be on the rise. Once they get into someone's data network, they want money. Tech eggs in one basket. We'll talk about that. Spammers, well, sometimes they slip up and the good guys win. We're also going to talk about a Department of Justice cases dismissed in a big child porn situation, which is just disgusting what they've had to do here. But lots to talk about. Plus, all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1182, if I think I got my number right here, of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, March 6th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support this show today at paypal.me/geeknews or geeknewscentral.com/insider. Of course, you can check out our Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Of course, all the longtime Ohana members, those of you part of the family here, thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the clan here, part of our Ohana clan, our family. Thank you so much for being part, and thanks again for your longtime support of the show. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. But for those of you that are brand new to the show, we want to welcome you and want you to become part of our Ohana as well. And I want you to take some time and visit geeknewscentral.com. And really, to do that, when you get over there, it's a piece of cake to get subscribed to the show as well. You'll find on the right-hand column of the website, place there for iTunes, Android, email, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, via an RSS feed, and of course, all our great content written by our great content writers on the site. Don't forget to get subscribed to the newsletter as well. That's a little bit further down the site under the important links area. That way you can get a direct delivery of the show notes, or basically everything I'm going to talk about during today's show in your inbox. So we definitely want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and get hooked up. Of course, if you want to reach out to the show, it's real easy via email, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Join our Slack channel by sending me an email address to join the Slack chat channel. You can follow on, I'm about ready to sneeze, Google Plus and Facebook. And of course, you can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel on the Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. Or you can listen on Stitcher, watch or view at blueberry.com, or tell Google Home. You can say okay and the device or the name and play the podcast Geek News Central, and Google will do that. Of course, our partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site, written by my GNC team, and my very tardy and not yet pod-faded podcast Legends show. So check all that out at geeknewscentral.com when you're over at the website. This show is supported by the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast known to man. It's an unofficial, and I don't know if I, basically, if we applied for a Guinness World Record, we'd get one. They've been sponsoring a show since July of 2005. So we want to thank GoDaddy for their continued support. I did get my GoDaddy numbers this morning. So I want to thank all of you for supporting the sponsor this past month and allowing us to keep the lights on, my family fed, gas in the car, all that stuff that goes on. Thank you so much for that. I definitely appreciate it. But more importantly, we want you to definitely get over to GoDaddy.com. geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy is the page we want you to go to so that you can get access to my promo codes that I have there. Whether it be a 30% off on a big server, whether it be a 99cent.com for a new or transfer, whether it be a month free with the GoDaddy website builder, whether it be a dollar a month economy hosting for 12 months, including a free domain, or a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. All those codes can be found on my website at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's a place to go. I want to thank GoDaddy again for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. And thank you again for making it happen Really, that is the key here. And it's because you guys are telling your friends, telling family members, coworkers, hearing about folks starting a domain. The power of this audience is incredible in that you basically make it happen for me. And, you know, all they got to do is go to the website. They can either grab the codes, cut and paste them at the checkout at GoDaddy, or they can just click on the link. And that takes you to the GoDaddy page. It's going to basically show you the offers. Don't forget on those 12-month offers, sometimes they'll try to get you to sign up for 2 years, but you can always just roll it back and sign up for a year so that $12 plan gets in there. Otherwise, you're going to get this number. It says, Todd said it was going to be $1 a month. How come it's showing $82? It's because they've basically put you on for a two-year plan. You don't have to do that. You can just change the frequency back to 12 months and get that savings in, get started with a website. We want you, of course, to continue it. We want you to blog. We want you to think about doing a podcast. It could be something for your business, you name it. So definitely check it out. And again, geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy is the place to go to get those codes. We want to, again, thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor of the show and taking care of us here at the Cochran family or the Ohana. All right. So let me go ahead, just kind of get you guys caught up. What's been happening is a lot less from the last show because it wasn't more than a week, but I think we can all cheer. My business taxes are finished. They're into the CPA. She followed up with me this morning with 7 questions. I could answer 5 of them right from the top of my head. 2 of them I had to go to the bank because for some reason, I've been really good about writing in my ledger, in my checkbook ledger. And I've got one of those big business checkbook ledgers. And it's even got a carbon copy, but I pulled 2 checks out and I don't have in the ledger who I wrote the checks for. And they're at such a really kind of a minimal amount. I just, for the life of me, I'm like bamboozled on who the 2 checks went to. I know they went to someone, but I will get those microfiche copies on Wednesday and we'll be set. So hopefully early next week, because everything is due next week, I'll be able to go in and pick up at least the business taxes, and then I will have to worry about the personal taxes, because the way my business is set up, they have to do the business first, and then the personal second, and because the business ties into my personal taxes, and God, I hate Uncle Sam. I start looking at the taxes you pay, and you just really think about the dollar amounts, you know, it's on this ledger that you have, and you're just like, man, I think about what I could do with all that money, you know, but it's the American way. You got to pay your way, right? It's crazy. Saturday, of course, was the new media show. I had Angela Mandato on, my CIO. We talked about a little bit. About 45 minutes of podcast stats and stuff that's going on in the space. Haven't forget about those of you that have actually sent me an email on wanting to apply to be my assistant. So now that I've kind of got the business taxes behind me, I have some time to think about this. And yes, I'm going to do a better job this year. I've actually hired someone to do all my books monthly. And that way I don't have to, you know, do them at the end. All I got to do is do a few sub notes on the statement and they're going to do the books for me. And I'd let my CPA do all the stuff, but they're really high. If I have them do every entry, it gets kind of nuts. So I'm basically got a person that knows how to use my accounting system and they're going to put all that data in. And basically at the end of the year, I'm just going to print and turn it in and I won't have to be like freaking out at this point. It sucks. But Sunday, we took advantage of my wife's free flight benefits because we're working at Hawaiian Airlines. We flew over to Maui again. We were going to Kauai, but the last minute we changed. More seats were available going to Maui. So we jumped a quick 40-minute hop over to Maui and spent the day with my daughter and son, my youngest son, exploring around. So we had about 10 hours on the ground in Maui. We got back yesterday about 7. And so it was nice, but basically Sunday was completely burned from because we are out over in Maui. So taking advantage of being able to free fly over there, a fly free or basically standby because of her flight benefits. So it was cool. Anyway, that's what's going on. I got a lot of stuff to talk to you about in the tech content tonight. It was kind of a weird night or weird day for tech news. I don't know if it's because South by Southwest is just getting ready to start and vendors are like maybe holding on to some announcements. It was just a little bit an oddball day. But one thing I did notice that actually was all over the news. I don't know if they use microfiche. They're pulling it from the pictures. John, I don't know. It's a digital scan. They don't use microfiche. But anyway, I have to go back in 2 days. They couldn't pull it up on the computer today. You know, Jason, you got 20 1099s this year. Oh yeah, your accountant's gonna love you. My daughter had 7, so that was bad enough. And I probably have, you know, a handful too because of raw voice and everything else. We're getting my director stipend and stuff. But anyway, Jason and Josh, welcome to the show, and Marcus as well, everyone that's on live. Thanks for being here. Make sure you check in and say hello in the chat room. Okay. And those of you on YouTube, you can also watch at facebook.com/Cochran. All right. Russian hackers are extorting American left-wing groups. According to a report over at Engadget, and this was on some other news stories as well, Russian hackers are not done trying to influence American politics just because the election is over. If you believe, of course, again, and a lot of news sources are saying this, if you believe Bloomberg sources, the news outlet understands that the FBI is investigating at least a dozen, yes, a dozen, being 12, incidents where Russian hackers tried to blackmail U.S. liberal groups. Typically, the intruders threatened to leak embarrassing emails and documents complete with proof unless the group pays the equivalent of $10,000 in bitcoins. Some of the groups under fire include Arabella Advisors, which helps investors in liberal cause, as well as the think tank Center for American Progress. So the obvious question is the Russian government behind this? It is possible, but not certain. The hacking team is using techniques reminiscent of Cozy Bear, the government-backed group believed to be involved in the DNC hacks. But so here's the question. When's the coin going to flip? And when are these folks going to, after they try to extort all these liberal groups, when are they going to start trying to extort conservative groups? Or what's going to happen when these groups, these left-leaning groups, do not pay and they start leaking the emails in order to embarrass the organizations and maybe stuff that they find? It goes without saying, I think we've all, based upon everything we've learned over the past year, can just about count that it's someday, somewhere, somehow, your email may become hacked and someone may have access to it that they don't. So as you're doing your job, personal business, things that happen online are kind of like Vegas. What stays in Vegas, what happens in Vegas now is on Facebook, right? So what happens in your email may now be on the news. So be careful and be concerned or use some common sense that if you're sending an email that could be embarrassing if it got out, maybe you don't want to send that email. Maybe you want to pick the phone up and talk to someone about your issue or your concern or your thought. Business email obviously has a lot of proprietary stuff. I know that we share document control through our company where I do proposals and stuff that I definitely don't want my competition to see. Would it hurt me if that document went online and was made public? I don't want it out there. We work in confidentiality with all of our clients, so that stuff is all, you know, really important to me. So some things can't be helped because you're doing business of the day, but general gossip and general discussion about individuals that, you maybe should not go in email anymore. And we all do this. We all talk. We all have concerns. We all, make comments and have want to share our opinion. And sometimes we get mad and write stuff that maybe shouldn't go in an email, even if it's going internal, while your colleagues may let you pass. What will happen to some of that email is on the street. So if you work for the government, technically your email is, the public's and to begin with, and you have no right or no, you shouldn't even consider having any privacy with your email from either the government work or maybe even your personal work. Maybe the company stores all your email, and maybe you have a company that is on the stock exchange, and much of the conversations about earnings and projections and business dealings have to be kept undercover because you could give someone an unfair advantage on a stock buy and cause the SEC to raise a flag with you. So lots of stuff going in email today that probably should not. And of course, we've already talked about some people using services where you send a text and then expires within 20 minutes or something to that effect. So I just think we all have to really take a step back and just think about this for a second. If your email was hacked and someone came to you and said, you pay us $10,000 in bitcoins, or we're going to put your archive of your email online, would you pay it with your business? Would that $10,000 be, worth it from a PR standpoint? Would it also allow you to keep your job if your particular email was leaked? This extortion that folks are doing, and how many groups haven't said anything and just paid the bill? But what's to stop someone coming back later? Once extorter, always extorter. Come back later and try to get more money out of you. Then you're kind of in a situation where you lose, right? So just be careful what you're putting in email these days. And we live in a digital world. Snaps, pictures of screens, you name it, are being done. And before you hit send, and I've done this many times, I've written an email up and I just paused, walked away from it for 15 minutes. I've come back and deleted it. I'm sure we've all done that as well. Sometimes you say something in email and you're like, no, maybe I shouldn't do that. And, your common sense kicks in. And it's those ones that where your common sense doesn't kick in. Twitter's real easy to, go on the nutso a little bit. You're getting it back and forth with someone. Sometimes you just got to step back and take a breath. But anyway, watch your email out there. All right. We talked a little bit about Amazon last week and their S3 outage, but basically even made my company go back and look at options. And it wasn't pretty. Angelo ran the numbers for me. I said, okay, what's this going to cost? And he gave me the number, and I was like, oh wow, okay. we have to have a board decision on whether or not we want to replicate, or if we want to come up with a different plan. So maybe where we don't replicate the whole stack, but we replicate like the newest stuff. And, it's expensive. And when you're dealing with terabytes of stuff on storage to duplicate that storage, just think about, I just ordered for Geekness Central, for this video stuff I did, I just ordered 5 6 terabyte drives. Matter of fact, they're in an Amazon box on the shelf outside of the office. I ordered 5 6 terabyte drives because my current storage unit is just about out, and the drives that are in there now are 2 terabyte drives. So I basically went online and I looked, okay, what's the 6 cost? What's the 7 cost? What's the 8 cost? And I did the cost comparisons and figured out where I could get the most bang for the buck right now, and basically had to drop like $1,500 or $1,200 on 6 or 5-6 terabyte drives, just so that I can increase the storage. Now I'm going to take those 2 terabyte drives out. We'll reutilize those. You know, I'll be able to reutilize those drives in something else, but it's still painful to buy storage here. The particular machine I've got right now here is I've had some issues with it. It's a relatively new machine. I don't want to, you know, basically do anything to, you know, have to update this. It's got another probably 3 to 4 years worth of life on it. But what I did do is I bought an SSD drive for it. I bought a 2 terabyte SSD drive to stick in this desktop machine that I do the show on, and to basically going to rebuild this thing, and we'll essentially have a pretty much new machine again. But it was a, you know, do I buy the 2 terabyte SSD, which is, you know, X number of dollars? Do I buy a whole new desktop? Do I, you know, there was these options I had to play out in my head, and I knew what I paid for this. And I'm still not done demortizing it from a, you know, from a tax standpoint. It's still on the books getting a deduction. So so this machine here will be going through updates. So I'm kind of hard drived out, but just goes to show you, just, you know, here internally, you know, I just dropped some serious coin to update some stuff internally just from a storage standpoint. But if I'm going to be storing, and this is just me, but if I'm going to be going to S3 and I'm going to be doubling our bucket size, because I'm going to have to put it in a, you know, basically set up a mirror in another data center. Oh, and do I spend thousands of dollars a month just on the pretense if they have a 4-hour outage again that I'll be able to recover in an hour versus 4 hours? It's a hard decision. A lot of people are coming to that realization this week, and I'm a relatively small company, so that's not insignificant dollars to add, kind of, you know, not in the general plan to our expense account, but we may have to do it. Customers do not like any downtime, and we were lucky. Our customers were all very, you know, we didn't have any delivery downtime. It was the upload of the new media stuff that we got impacted with. So, you have to weigh that. Okay. Do I spend, you know, $15,000 over a year to have duplicated storage, for the potential of a 4-hour outage in 2 years? You know, that's 2 years is, you know, the very bottom rung of hiring an employee, you know, so it's kind of crazy, but a lot of us are looking at that, and the storage companies are loving it because we're all going to be spending money. All right, spammers. Let's talk about these spammers. You're watching through the middle of a tornado warning? Please tell me, Dan, that you were in a basement. Are you someplace safe? I do not want anyone that's listening to the show to be injured. Wow. Crazy. Josh says, I sent an email to Financial Times. It got hacked either from their site or mine. Are the hacker police out there who we can hire to track the hack? I don't think so. You're going to spend more money tracking the hack than anything else. And also Josh says, I presume all my communications are compromised. That's probably true. But anyway, Dan, I hope you're okay in the middle of Missouri there and this tornado warning. All right, let's talk about these spammers. We all get them. You know, it just sucks. And I look at my spam folder every day, though, because invariably a few emails that should be going in the inbox end up in the spam folder. And it just sucks to have to go through the spam folder every day, but you just got to do that. And if you're not doing that, and especially if you're on Gmail, you need to be. You need to be looking at your spam folder every day and quickly scanning to make sure that one didn't get dropped in that wasn't supposed to. Because, you know, you'll be getting emails from people consistently, and then all of a sudden one will get blacklisted, and then from then on they're blacklisted. But security expert Chris Vickery got access to a company called River City Media. I have no idea who these folks are. Via a backup that was accidentally left online publicly with no password. Now check this out. The database included 1.3 billion records detailing email addresses and personal information. So apparently it has all the information about internal company communications as well, back and forth about how they are getting around spam filters. It had a list of all their mail servers that now are in a spammer database. I mean, it just went on and on and on and on. So I don't know if RCM is a U.S. company. I don't know where they're based out of. But this article that I have from the BBC said they sent emails to RCM asking for comments about the allegations of their being a big spam farm. In marketing materials found in the backup, RCM allegedly said it had the ability to send 1 billion messages a day. Now, you think about, I have a service, an email service for my company. We have about 52 or 53,000 double opt-in email addresses in that database. And it to send 53,000 emails, if we do a newsletter or a, you know, basically I pay a monthly fee to send that out. It's based upon the volume. I could send them an email every day if I wanted for the same price, but we don't. But the 53,000 emails, I think it costs me like $380 a month or something like that to have that mail service. And we pay it gladly because it basically allows us to email 53,000 of our double opt-in mailing list, you know, to send them the newsletter, send them announcements, that kind of stuff. And but this company to be able to send 1.3 billion records or 1.1 billion emails a day, they have done something pretty incredible. But I'm sure that this database will have all of our information in it. If they've got 1.3 billion records, there aren't going to be too many of us that are digitally online in the United States if that is going to miss. But I'd be curious to see what personal information they have if that's released. All right, in the beginning of the show, I talked about a situation with the Department of Justice, and this just really disgusts me at all levels. To keep a Tor hack source code secret, the Department of Justice has dismissed over a hundred child porn cases. Rather than share the now classified technological means that the investigators used to locate a child porn suspect, federal prosecutors in Washington state have dropped all charges against a man accused of accessing what's called a site called Playpen. But it's not just this person. It was, I think the total number was 137, because in basically discovery, the guy's lawyer was savvy enough to say, we want to see how you did this, the whole nine yards. The case, United States versus J. McCod, is one of nearly 200 cases nationwide that have raised new questions about appropriate limitations on government's ability to hack criminal suspects. McCod marks justice the second time that prosecutors ask that the case be dismissed. The government must now choose between disclosure of classified information and dismissal of its indictment. Disclosure is currently not an option. Dismissal without prejudice leaves open the possibility the government could bring new charges should there be a come a time within the statute of limitations when the government be in a position to provide the requested discovery. You would think there would be provisions to do this and provide this information for discovery for the person that's being prosecuted to his lawyer under some sort of, you know, sealed, something sealed or some sort of, you know, you can't close court hearing or whatever. But to think that they're going to let 135 of these disgusting child porn users, that they're going to cut them loose at this time, at least initially, because they don't want to reveal the software, is pretty disgusting. it is really disgusting. And they can bring charges later. So what does that mean? What is the statute of limitations on a case like this? 7 years? So does that mean in 5 years, when the software has been compromised, they can come back and prosecute? I sure hope so. It's pretty disgusting. But, you know, maybe, at least in this situation, these folks' names have been out there. And people know who these individuals are within their communities that had these cases dismissed because of a technicality. And will take appropriate measures to protect their friends and family from those individuals. I don't get it. I really don't. But I don't understand why you would think that there would be some way that the Department of Justice would not have to dismiss these cases. It's just disheartening, to say the least. Okay, let's get off that and move on to some news over at Geek Time, geektime.com. Maybe first or second time I've talked about this site. There's 30 nominations that the president still hasn't made that are critical for U.S. technology growth. Number one, there's been no CTO announced. Number two, and these are all people that are underneath like cabinet-level positions, Assistant Secretary of Energy, Director of Energy Advanced Research Projects, Undersecretary for Standards and Technology, Administrator Wage and Hour Division under Department of Labor. You've got Undersecretary of Transportation for Policy, Assistant Secretary for Aviation Internal Affairs, International Affairs, Assistant Secretary for Research and Tech. It just goes on and on and on. All of these lower level positions. But I think what we've got is I think there's still people in the cabinet that haven't been put in. So I would assume some of these lower positions would be filled by, you know, the secretaries, the cabinet members. But there's just a huge list. And I don't know how this goes from a timeline and compared to other administrations. Maybe it's normal that it takes a few months to get these all filled, but, people are complaining about it. And if you're interested in the list, I think the less bureaucracy, the longer we leave like seats open and people can't get stuff done in the government, I think it's better when stuff is kind of slow to be, slow for policy change. And, you know, it's some of this stuff might not be so bad. You don't fill these positions very quick. But anyway, we'll see where it leads. A bunch of space news. NASA weather satellite is sending some striking images, and they got a cool video that all of you should take a look at. It's basically a lightning storm as seen from the other side. You know, we've all had a lightning storm we've been able to see ourselves. But pretty cool video from the GO-16 lightning mapper, a YouTube video. And then some dramatic Earth weather from space, and it shows hot spots and where lightning storms are going on. So anyway, I have that link up in the show notes for you guys to check out. Don't dare play the video. Even though it's a government video, YouTube is weird about that. They can still flag the show for copyright violation. So I'll let you guys go ahead and check it out. Hey, Amazon boss, Jeff Bezos, has basically tweeted today a picture of their new rocket, the Blue Origin BE-4 rocket. They've dropped the picture online on that. So if you're a rocket guy, this thing is absolutely, you want to nerd out a little bit. It looks beautiful. It really does. And I'm thinking, wow, look at the, and I don't know if that's aluminum or how they, you know, what the story is on this, but it looks cool. Don't understand how it works, but it looks pretty awesome. But Blue Origin's BE-4 engine first assembled, and hopefully at some point we're going to see a test firing of this thing. And but anyway, very, very cool. I love what all this all these, you know, these private space ventures are doing and the money being spent. So as you're buying more Amazon stuff, it's, you know, it's helping feed the beast of letting those folks, you know, do these space initiatives. I want to talk just a little bit about Google Home. And here's the story. Google has initiated something called Snippets. And Snippets are pretty awesome if your site is one that they have taken and used a reference snippet. And I've had some very good pages referenced as snippets. And those pages get huge amount of traffic because when you do your search for the topic, it typically right at the very top of the search results is a box that lists the information and then basically you click it and it brings you to your page. And they consider that an authority page. Now, all my pages that I've had snippets on, Google snippets, have... okay, I'm sorry, Google. I know I'm talking about you. But anyway, it has run a huge amount of traffic to those pages. It could be, I could get 5,000 to 10,000 hits on a specific page alone per day if it has this Google snippet. So the problem is that they're using a search algorithm that doesn't always give the most reliable sources of information. And as more and more people turn to voice assistants for news, when you ask a question of these devices, it will spout out an answer that is wrong. So for example, a question that was asked a specific Google device, and I have to be careful because mine's sitting right here close. The question was, is Obama planning a coup? And the response back was like completely wrong, came from some crazy ass website that had some sort of conspiracy theory thing going. And it spouted this, you know, two paragraphs of information, and people that would ask that would be like, what? And if you do a search on the same term, you'll see the snippet. Now that Google has subsequently removed this, but because of these articles that have come out, but you see this time and time and time again. Now, there's a way to basically force Google to exclude your site from a snippet. But when you do that, Google interprets that as I should penalize the page. I should, because the owner has said, do not allow a snippet, the page gets penalized in the ranking heavily. So it's not advantageous in any way to run the meta tag to tell the Googlebot no snippets on that page. So what we have now is Google search results and the Google Home device has a fake news problem. So as you're searching for specific things, make sure you look, because you're going to see that snippet that's going to show up at the top of the page or maybe right below the ads. And it's going to, you need to look at where the source, where it's trying to send you, and make sure that you're not saying, okay, yeah, I trust that site and click through, or go into the regular search results and go two or three down and kind of look in those areas for sites that might be a better reference site. Because the examples that were laid out were just crazy. I mean, one after the other that was nuts. So just be aware of that out there. And you know, it's interesting. The snippet stuff can be great for a website. And I've been the recipient of having four or five pages that are snippet related that send traffic to my website. They get an incredible number of click-throughs. So, you know, if you're a blogger, you want to be the authority on certain topics and have Google, you know, flag your content for the snippet because you'll own that search result. Okay. Dan, haven't heard back from you, so I'm hoping you're okay. We've already talked about the searching of cell phones and coming into the United States. And I've talked about also in this show about how I've traveled overseas before and went into the Middle East and had, you know, my phone, my laptop, all basically kind of taken away, and they went somewhere for 20, 30 minutes and come back and give me my stuff back. And I've had it happen in Japan. That's unnerving when your stuff goes to somewhere for being inspected. And I know we've all been crying foul, or a lot of people have been crying foul of that happening here in the United States. Well, if you go into Canada, border officials can search your cell phone and confiscate your device. So it's not, so just so you guys know, it's not just here. So, the Canadian Border Service agencies have the officers have the right to inspect your device. And if you don't comply, they might even confiscate your phone. Devices such as cell phones, laptops are classified as goods, according to the CBSA. Under the Customs Act, officers have the authority to examine them as part of a routine examination. So here's my advice for all of you. Okay. If you don't care about your phone being inspected, travel everywhere you want with it. But if you're worried about your phone, let's say you're doing business on your phone, and you're worried about your IP of your company, information being revealed, and, you know, anything that would concern you, leave that phone at home, get you a burner phone, and take the burner phone on travel. It may cost you a little more for the data and roaming and calls, but at least if you have a border agent, take your phone and confiscate it. You're not going to be like freaking out because they got your electronic goods. And I've told you before, same thing on international travel with a laptop. You know, definitely think about what you have on your laptop before you go travel international. You're going into someone else's country. You're a guest there. They, you know, it's their rules. They don't, they're going to give two craps that you're an American. And they're going to be like, matter of fact, they're probably going to dig in a little deeper. So, you know, don't mess around. If you have a device and you're worried about it getting jacked by the custom folks, take a burner phone. Buy yourself a $78 phone at Radio Shack. You know, put a month's worth of data on it and voice, and you get to pay the $15 or $20 extra for the international plan and be off. I go to Japan and I buy a phone there. They have them at the airport. I just grab a phone at the airport, and then my phone is at home. I have them call forward it to the new number, and I'm good. You know, so you know, you don't have to take your phone with you across borders. There's lots of options these days, okay? And many of you know you can't be without your phone, but can you be without the data that the border agent is maybe going to copy off? All right, going to totally switch topics on you guys. Artificial intelligence is now, you know, if you are a computer programmer and you are have some brains on how to build AIs, you're going to be rich. So AI systems now are being used in sports, and specifically in soccer in the UK. It's being used to predict how athletes react in certain situations. And they've been able to essentially do ghost imaging on what would have happened if a player did this versus that. The Toronto Raptors have a manual, what's called a manual ghosting system, where coaches mark out where they think players have been. This technology, however, lifts the burden. The new technology lifts the burden. It can create ghosts in real time. Even in soccer and other sports where the continuous play can lead to predictions that gradually veer from realistic outcomes. The scientists rely on imitation and learning, where the AI bases its actions on demonstrations to keep the long-term prediction in check. So basically studies what a player does, his mannerism, how he moves, how he reacts to the ball, and can give them feedback. If you change this, maybe you're going to outfox your opponent because he's used to you doing this move or that. So huge tools are going to make us better, for sure. There's going to be a new European Space Agency satellite. It's equipped with a high-swath, high-resolution, multi-spectral imager that is supposed to provide a new perspective of our planet. It's scheduled to launch atop a Vega rocket on March 6th, which is today. I didn't see if it actually launched today, but hopefully we'll get to see some of those pictures soon. So that's coming from the European Space Agency. Also, this wasn't the article. What happened here? Let me refresh this page. Maybe it was. Did it forward? I had a different article. Let me back up one. Sometimes I go to space.com. The pages have a life of their own. All right. Well, we'll skip that one. All right. Sorry. Also, we've talked a little bit about some of this gravitational wave astronomy that's coming. And man, scientists have just, they're going over the edge. Apparently, this is turning out some incredibly new science, dark matter, a whole bunch of stuff. And they say we're about ready to have a whole new understanding of what's happening in space by these gravitational wave detectors and everything. And there was two full articles on this, one on space.com and one on Universe Today. I'll have them linked up both in the show notes. A little bit off the space news here. Sprint's long VOIP patent war has led to a $140 million verdict against Time Warner Cable. So in this instance, I like to see it when anytime a cable company has money that they have to pay for a lawsuit, it's like a win for all of us that still are, you know, non-cord cutters because they get their pockets reached in too. Now imagine you're a business owner and you're in IT management. There's a company called SolarWinds, and they sell IT management tools, and basically they had a meltdown of their system, and every client of theirs in a specific business category got an email in a specific region, got an email of all of their competitors' clients, so everyone got everyone's information. The people are freaking out. It's 100 companies within the same sector, all of their personal data with all their clients, and it was basically everyone got a snapshot of everyone else's client base. The general response to this breach has been one of absolute fury, F-U-R-Y, fury. I can only imagine. Though several individuals confirmed that they'd been enjoying taking a look through at their competitors and inferring a lot about them and their practices. This, I would call, the first call I'd make to my lawyer, and we would file a lawsuit against these folks. Because what's going to happen here is massive disruption for those 100 companies. They have all of them have all of each. It's like, okay, so I got 100, I got 99 of my competitors' information. That's cool. But also the other 99 got my information. And so can you imagine mailing lists, computers, clients, client sites, locations? Oh, fire up the lawyer. Because if I lost one client because of this breach, this company would be, oh. So I just can't imagine. I think I would have a stroke. I really did. Okay, Dan, I'm good. Worst bit is over. Thanks. I hope you didn't lose any tiles, but my mom just a couple of days ago announced on Facebook that my mom and the grandkids and my sister and her husband and the dogs were all in the basement as well because their area had a tornado warning as well. So, no fun. Been there, done that. I had a tornado do a hop skip over my house. It was on the ground. We saw it coming, and me and my buddy were there. And it was the first time my mom ever listened to me as a kid. I was like, scream the top of lungs, Mom, basement now. You know, and, you know, when you yell at your mom as a young kid, the results are not positive. But she came like lightning, and we went to the basement, and basically the storm, the tornado lifted about maybe 100 yards from the house and went up, and we would have got schwacked, but it raised, and actually it about half mile down the road, it touched down on the ground again. So it was close, but been there. Don't wish that on anyone. It's very, very scary. Very, very scary. So anyway, the solar wind customers, talking about tornadoes, solar winds, they have some wind in their face today. Wall Street Journal, you know, I don't subscribe, but they have a cool story that I didn't get to get a lot of information about. But apparently Facebook was rushing into live video and wasn't ready for its dark side. So Zuckerberg basically locked down 100 employees and basically, here's what we're going to do. And they rushed into doing Facebook Live, but then they haven't figured out completely or got ahead of all the trolls that are doing stuff and people that are committing suicide and doing all kinds of crazy things on Facebook Live. People that are doing Facebook Live and driving cars at high speed, you name it, they're doing it. So they're having challenges to the darker side of this. But if you get the Wall Street Journal, you can read the full article. Or if you haven't visited too many times this month, you can see it as well. Unfortunately, in the recent weeks, I've learned more about blockchain than I really want to, and it's because of some initiatives that are going on with a syndicated media group that's working to expand RSS. And so when I saw this article today about IBM and Maersk, the shipping company, Maersk, which is the largest container ship operator on the planet, they're working with something called blockchain to basically track product to cargo, to vessel, to customs. And it's basically, blockchain allows people to add data. I guess that's kind of the best way to describe it. People have permissions to write to a file, and they can update information. So it basically is a block of data that's, I believe, in an XML format, kind of secure. If you're a dev, you're going to kind of understand this. And I kind of, based on my very limited information on what I know about blockchain so far, it's pretty cool. If you're a geek and you want to geek out for a couple hours, Google what is blockchain, and I think you'll come away with the kind of a nerd out type of thing like I have, and learning about blockchain. So when I saw this thing that IBM did, and if they're using blockchain, I'm like, whoa, this thing's getting popular. So definitely check out the topic blockchain. Well, the desktop is finally cool. You know, I've been using a desktop computer for years. I have always used a desktop computer versus a laptop for my desktop. And it's, you know, it's kind of made some design choices here, because I've got in front of me, I've got the TriCaster switching board, which I don't use, you know, nearly a tenth of the features. I've got a keyboard, and a monitor over here to the left of me. But a lot of these all-in-one deals are now curved monitors. You've got the Microsoft Surface Studio. You've got all these new desktop designs, whether it be from Dell or Apple, you name it. There's some pretty cool options out there. So if you're thinking about a desktop, check some of these new desktop designs, the all-in-one type deals, where you don't have to have something sitting underneath the desk and a bunch of cables leading up. But anyway, definitely check that out. Also, League of Legends is basically pretty happy today. The League of Legends creators won a $10 million in a bot hack service lawsuit. My son plays League of Legends. I wish this game would be put into the internal pits of hell. I'm not a fan of this game because I got a kid that's addicted to it. But last summer, League of Legends developer Riot Games sued a cheat and bot service because it represented an enormous threat to LOL and could have caused, and what they're saying, irreparable harm to Riot and its valuable player community. In other words, their money. So League Sharp is paying $10 million and giving Riot control over its websites and probably all the people that used it, which will probably end up in a bunch of mass bans on LOL. So not laugh out loud, League of Legend. Someone, if you play League of Legend, please email me and tell me why this game is so, I understand you're doing a battle, but it's on the same screen. Nothing changed. It's beyond me. It really, really is. I understand video games, but not that one. Bugatti. When you say Bugatti, you're like, you're thinking of cars, of course. Bugatti sold $650 million in a new supercar without anyone ever seeing one or getting a test drive. 250 of its 500 car run they're going to make on this new supercar, the Chiron, have been sold without people ever seeing one. $2.6 million a piece. I guess if you got $2.6 million laying around to buy a supercar, you probably don't care what it looks like. You just order it, right? It's just sick to spend $2.6 million on a car. If I hit the big lotto, like the big one where you like win $600 million over 20 years or something like that, I still would not spend $2.6 million on a vehicle. I don't get it. You know, I'd go out and spend, you know, I'd buy a Tesla. But that would be like at the extreme top end. You know, I'd go and pay cash for it. All right. But I would not pay $2.6 million for a vehicle. That's just somebody with a big ego. I understand people love cars, but my God, I just don't get it. If you've got that kind of budget, I have some investments for you. I guess skip this article, not child safe. All right, U.S. wind capacity surpasses hydro generation. So right now, wind is creating 81,232 megawatt hours as compared to 79,985 megawatt hours on hydro. So that's pretty cool that wind is taking over. There was a lot of windmills over in Maui too, which I found interesting. Okay, New York State, if you live in New York State, they're soon going to launch a rebate intended to make electric vehicles more price competitive. They've had a rebate for electric cars here in Hawaii for years. And because we leased one, I don't know if we get the rebate or not. I guess we'll try. But you're going to get a rebate up to $2,000 will be available for zero emission plug-in electric hybrid vehicles. So if you live in New York, that option will be available soon. Many states have that. If you don't are familiar with it, you may want to check it out. Also, hacker George Holtz has canceled his Model S order after Tesla's lawyer called him and reminded him about IP theft. So this guy's been doing a lot of hacking of cars for many years. And I guess Tesla was a little bit nervous about him getting a Model S. And his lawyer, just days before he was going to get his Model S, lawyers from Tesla called him and reminded him of intellectual property laws. So it kind of scared him off, and he has basically canceled his order for Model S. Kind of an interesting move. Tesla's watching who's buying vehicles. A little bit unnerving, right? Have them call you and basically scare you into not buying a car or threatening. You know, that's just a mild little threat, right? Hey, we want to remind you that, you know, hacking the vehicle is illegal. Sometimes you own the car, but you don't own the software. You guys know that, right? All right, this new concept vehicle from Volkswagen. It's the stupidest thing I think I've ever seen. It looks like a toaster. I'm not kidding you. The only way you would get me to ride in this thing is if it was in the dark of night and it was like a shuttle from one place to the other. Come on. I know it's a concept vehicle, but that has got to be the ugliest thing I've ever seen. he'd get out of that and he'd be like, you are not, I would I'd rather walk. Maybe being forced to drive one of those, or riding one of these Volkswagen-like vehicles would, if I was rich, force me to buy a 2.6 million Bugatti. Oh, a little bit of future news, futuristic type stuff. NASA's proposing building an artificial magnetic field to restore Mars' atmosphere. Huh. I wonder how much power they would need to do that. So they think that they could make Mars hospitable again by creating an artificial magnetic field. Kind of an interesting move. But they would have to park something. How would they do this? They would have to position a powerful magnetic dipole at the Mars L1 Lagrange point, and it could potentially deflect solar wind like a natural magnetic field. And that would be like how many miles away? 32,000 miles or something like that away from Mars. Anyway, scientists are thinking big for the future. We'll see where this leads. But in the more immediate future, Windows 10 updates will require 35 to 65% less space and offer better Windows update controls. All right. Hey, also, I just want to let you know, on Windows 10, two times in a row, I've had the, right off the top of my head here, you know the service that restore function in Windows 10 are all in Windows machines. It basically builds restore points. I had my restore point two times in a row reset itself to allow 100% utilization of the hard drive space. It'll take 100%. So if you ever get to the point where all of a sudden you run out of hard drive space on Windows 10, go immediately and look at the restore functions and see how much memory it's being allowed to use. I've reset it twice back to 15%. Very, very odd. So if that happens to you, where all of a sudden you're out of hard drive space, that's the first place to go look, all right? Uber, Lyft, and Airbnb are condemning immediately the new revised immigration ban. And again, I understand that they're doing why they're doing this. They don't like it. But are they hiring people from Afghanistan, from Syria? Are they getting H-1B workers from one of the now six countries? You know, help me with this. And maybe it's just principle that they're saying this. But to me, it's a little... I guess I'd like to see the stats. Are they hiring from people from Somalia, from Yemen, from Sudan, from Syria, from Libya? Are they hiring techs? Makes you go, just a little bit, doesn't it? And of course, other folks are coming out saying it's sabotaging science and technology. I don't know about this one. What do you guys think? Are they just protesting because they can protest, or do they actually bring in H-1B workers from those countries to fill positions in their companies here in the U.S.? That is the question that we all should ask. It's their right to do so, but I just wonder how many they're actually bringing in. Or we talked about Vizio and it's basically smart spying. Well, Vizio's failed to dodge a class action lawsuit over its spying smart televisions. You knew this was coming. So there is a class action lawsuit. And, Vizio's already paid the FTC $2.2 million. But customers are going to have their shot here. So I'm sure you're going to get a notice in the mail. And basically, if you're a Vizio TV owner that had this issue, Vizio is going to be compelled to give a list of all customers. You're going to get something in there that says you've got so many days to respond to this. So if you want your $18 check from the settlement of the class action lawsuit, you'll have to respond and you'll get a check that'll be you'll have like 30 days to deposit before it goes wrong. Who makes money in these class action lawsuits? The lawyers do. you, Joe customer, get, you know, half a cent on the dollar or something like that. Or in 2016, 1.7 million of you have cut the cord. So that's a pretty good drop. Net loss for last quarter was around $319,000. My cable bill went up $17. And I was like, why? I called them and they couldn't tell me why my cable bill went up $17. So we're having a dinner time discussion about the cable bill tomorrow. I'll be hopefully joining the ranks of a cable cutter again. All right, IBM is saying that they're going to sell a 50-qubit universal quantum computer within the next few years. So when I heard this Q-U-B-I-T. So let's say what is, let's have Google give us a definition of this. A qubit. All right. So it's not actually, so in quantum computing, a qubit or quantum bit, sometimes called a qubit, is a unit of quantum information, the quantum analog of the classical bit. A qubit is a two-state quantum mechanical system. Of course, that's what, you know, quantum computing is. It's about two states, such as polarization of a single photon. Here's the two states are vertical polarization, horizontal polarization. A classical system, a bit would have. So, okay, they're going to be selling quantum computers, qubit systems. So, okay, I've said a lot here. All right, what does that mean? Well, number one, they're going to cost about $15 million is what it's going to cost to buy one. And, they're going to build a 50-qubit computer. Is that fast? I don't know, but for $15 million, it better wash my back. But they're saying this is coming. And they have a design, and they're trying to figure it out. Oh, you need to have absolute zero. So in other words, minus 273.145 degrees Celsius, which is a prerequisite for quantum computing. So not only is it going to be $15 million for the box, you're going to need the cooling system to go along with it. That's probably going to be another $15 million. But that's what's coming from IBM. Pulse is Twitch, yes, the video game streaming company. Pulse is Twitch's new social feed and GIF delivery system. So Amazon's live streaming video service is getting Pulse, an integrated social media feed that expands how creators can communicate with viewers. Pulse work like a version of Twitter or Facebook, where broadcasters can post videos, images, text, and more to anyone that follows them. So be on the lookout for Pulse for those of you that are on watching video game players on Twitch. Consumer Reports is expanding their product reviews to consider cybersecurity. And believe it or not, Consumer Reports is still an influential U.S. nonprofit group that conducts extensive reviews of cars, kitchen appliances, and other goods. So now they're going to start digging into the cybersecurity of products, which is probably very, very smart. Final couple of articles here. People got freaked out. And it happened in Zambia. So let me show you guys this. It was an eerie image. For those of you that are watching the show, I'm going to bring this up to you. And I think if you saw this above a mall, you would probably flip out as well. But just like anything else, this turned out to be a hoax. And I'm not real familiar with how they've done it, but this is what appeared above a shopping center. For those of you watching, I think if you saw it and it looked convincing enough, you would totally be freaking out as well. And clever hoaxers have taken the image of a admittedly terrifying kite and superpose it over the Zambian shopping mall to create the ominous scene. How they did this, I don't know. Again, pretty cool hoax, but freaked a bunch of people out. in the way that they did it. Also, President Bush, President George W. Bush was on Jimmy Kimmel, and I love this. He asked the question that everyone wants to ask a president. He said to him, when you were in office, Jimmy Kimmel asked, did you go through the secret files, the UFO documents? Amidst the audience laughter, the president merely replied with a maybe, and then remarked that he'd been asked the same question by his daughters. Kimmel then wondered if the president would even be able to reveal the answer to that question to his family, and Bush confirmed that he could not. Noting that he is now out of office, of course, for many years, Kimmel suggested that Bush could do anything you want, and the president jokingly agreed, but then still added the caveat, I'm not telling you. The comedian slyly attempted to discern something from Bush's answer, but he quickly replied to a raucous reaction of the audience, I'm not telling you nothing. And in perhaps the most tantalizing moment during the conversation, Kimmel asked, are there really great secrets that you know that you can't share with people? He says, clearly treading into classified territory, Bush confirmed that indeed he did receive such insights, but would never share them with the public. Yeah, you go to jail. The former president answer will no doubt conjure all kinds of speculation in the UFO and conspiracy community, though it's highly unlikely we'll ever really know what Bush was alluding to. So, makes you wonder, doesn't it? You just wonder what kind of a briefing a president gets about UFOs when they get in the office, or if they're even allowed to see that information because they're only going to be there a short time. Is there keepers of this information? Does it exist? Makes you go, right? I think the correct, the president gave some good answers, but he could really have really got him spinning if he said, I cannot confirm or deny. He could have used that term maybe you've got him twisted a little more. But anyway, that's what happened with President George W. Bush on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, answering questions about UFOs. Will we ever find out from the government? I don't think so. Because in all honesty, I don't think the American public or the worldwide public can handle the truth if there is truth to be known. And if there's something that the government knows that they're not sharing, I don't think the majority of people on this planet could handle that information in the slightest. I think people would wig out completely. What do you guys think? If they were to announce that we had actually been visited and were in communications with aliens, would anybody believe it? Number one, be listed as fake news. Or number two, what do you think the rest of the world would do? So I'd love to hear the conspiracy theorists out there. Of course, we've had lots of conspiracies here recently on Twitter coming out of government officials. So it's kind of conspiracy week here on Geek News Central. And I got to laughing about, I told you guys to buy popcorn. There's going to be lots of entertaining things. There's going to be lots of conspiracies. And this is just fun. So, and I guess it depends on your perspective, but it makes people go digging around, doesn't it? And coming up with all kinds of interesting information about court actions and stuff that were approved and disapproved. And we're usually where there's smoke, there's fire. We'll see. But lots of stuff for the conspiracy theorists to talk about. A lot more coming, I'm sure. All right, we're going to get out of here. Thanks, everyone, for being here. If you got comments on today's show, it's real easy to reach out to me at Geek News on Twitter. Of course, it's very important here that you email me as well, geeknews@gmail.com. We'll cover your email in the next show if you drop me a line. It's best to do it via email if you want it read on the show. If you send me on Facebook, that's cool, too. And I try to get all those into the queue to be able to cover. But thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Don't forget about our sponsor, GoDaddy, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Share those codes with your friends, family members, people that you know, even people that you don't. You think you got someone you know that needs a code? Give them the code. And help us continue to keep the lights on here. It's been my pleasure bringing the show today. Thanks to all of you that are still here live. watching. I definitely appreciate you staying up late with me. I know it's late in your area. I got started late tonight because we had soccer practice. But everyone take care. We'll see you next Thursday on the Geek News Central podcast, of course, released Friday morning for everyone's listening pleasure. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time on the Geek News Central podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.